From Oakville, Ontario, you're listening to Highview Radio, where facilitating excellence in the management of your wealth is our purpose.
I'm John Platt, and welcome to Highview Radio. Today we're going to be discussing IPPs, or Individual Pension Plans, one of Canada's least known yet most effective tax reduction strategies to secure a reasonable level of retirement income and save thousands of dollars in taxes in the process. Today we're joined by Michelle Dickinson, President and CEO of Dickinson Carr, a firm that specializes in assisting high net worth individuals plan for their retirement. Dickinson Carr is an outsourced service provider. They're known for building and maintaining customized individual pension plans. They specialize in working with trusted financial advisors like Highview and others who seek to provide IPPs for their business owner clients. Michelle has been in the financial services industry in Canada for over 20 years and has worked with a number of the large financial institutions in areas such as financial and estate planning, trust services, and portfolio management. Thanks for joining us today, Michelle.
It's good to be here, John.
Probably the best place to start, because not everybody has heard of IPPs, is by getting you to tell us just what is an IPP and why were they created?
Well, John, IPPs, or individual pension plans, were first permitted by law in 1991 to provide independent business owners and incorporated professionals with the opportunity to achieve maximum tax relief with maximum retirement pension income. In essence, IPPs were designed to assist high-income earners perceived to be disadvantaged by the current RSP rules. And an IPP is really a defined benefit plan designed to provide a guaranteed level of income, retirement income, for life. So these IPPs give business owners the richest pension benefits that the Income Tax Act permits a registered pension plan to provide. So business owners are really unique because they have the option of setting up their own company-funded, guaranteed, indexed pension plan, essentially allowing them to take money out of their business tax-free. And if you think about it, individual pension plans permit business owners to join that inner circle of the 30% of working Canadians, including civil servants and employees of Crown corporations, employees of large corporations, who enjoy the significant benefits and guarantees of a defined benefit pension plan.
Interesting. So I gather from your comments that IPPs aren't appropriate for everybody. Can you profile an ideal candidate?
Well, sure I can. The ideal candidate, John, is a successful business owner or professional. He or she must be incorporated, and ideally, over the age of 40, they can set up an IPP up until the age of 71. They have to pay themselves and their spouses, if they're working in the business, a salary or a T4 income. So paying themselves strictly dividend income doesn't qualify for an IPP. And then they have to agree to fund their plan. So in addition to those particular characteristics, the business owner is also looking for a couple of things. One very important thing is the peace of mind or security in having a predictable, guaranteed level of income when they retire. You see, an IPP allows the business owner to contribute more to their retirement fund than an RRSP, up to 65% more annually depending on their age. And the key actuarial assumption allowed by Canada Revenue Agency is that the money in an IPP will grow at 7.5% rate annually. So if over the course of each three-year valuation period, the assets in the plan have grown at less than 7.5% rate, the business owner's corporation gets to top up the plan. And if you think about it a little further, many Canadians are still trying to recover from the significant losses incurred in their RSPs as a result of the global financial meltdown in 2008-09. And unlike the individual RSP investors, business owners with an IPP can make up those losses through additional tax-deductible contributions to their plan. If your RSP underperforms, there's no way to catch up. But if the IPP underperforms, the plan holder's company contributes more funds to make up the difference. So RSP investment losses, on the other hand, can't be made up with additional contributions. Other features some business owners consider very important is creditor protection, and an IPP offers that security. Business owner may also value the ability to transfer pension assets to a future generation. So what's so attractive for business owners is the ability to customize the IPP to fit each individual's circumstances.
Understood. So most high net worth investors know about how to contribute to RSPs. They've been around for a long time and attracted a lot of attention in the investment business. But what process would a high net investor need to go through to determine whether an IPP might be more beneficial as a retirement and tax planning strategy for them?
Well, John, there is indeed a process to determine if an IPP is a good fit. And it really boils down to an assessment of both qualitative and quantitative factors. And so by quantitative factor, I'm talking about the numbers, factoring tax and accounting numbers. And at Dickinson Carr, we can do an IPP diagnostic, if you will. And that is to say we crunch the numbers by gathering inputs such as date of incorporation, of the business owner, his or her date of birth, the salary that they pay themselves, and then we generate an illustration that we then can present to the client. But equally, if not more important, I think, is the qualitative assessment of the features and benefits that may give the client peace of mind, such as how important is it to have a guaranteed level of income for their lifetime? How important is indexation to inflation? Is being able to transfer money out of their business in a tax-efficient manner part of a succession plan important? What about creditor protection or being able to transfer money to the next generation tax-effectively? And this is where a trusted financial advisor and their client get together to really clarify the client's goals and their objectives. And this is very important because sometimes the straight numbers don't tell the whole story.
Isn't that usually the case? Yeah. I understand there were some changes made to the legislation governing IPPs in the most recent budget. Can you sort of summarize what those changes were?
Yes, very briefly, the most important change related to the funding formula for past service for IPPs. And under the new rules, contributions relating to past service must first be satisfied by transfers from RSP assets or unused RSP contribution room before the new past service contributions can be made by the corporation. So this was the most important change that we have talked to our clients about, and it doesn't affect everybody. It will only affect those that have been incorporated for several years, and we don't believe these changes affect the viabilities of IPPs going forward.
Right. So in Dickinson Carr's opinion, particularly for high net worth entrepreneurs, IPPs are still a very compelling alternative to RSPs?
Well, absolutely, John. And IPPs are already the pension plan of choice for over 10,000 Canadians, and I think they are an excellent way for entrepreneurs to build retirement income.
Michelle, thanks very much for spending time with us today and sharing your insights and experiences around individual pension plans. For listeners who would like more information on Dickinson Carr and their services, please click on their firm website to the left. For now, though, I'm John Platt. Thanks very much for joining us today.
You've been listening to HighView Radio, a media production of HighView Financial Group. For more information on our firm, please visit us at www.highviewfin.com.